It's great to have you here with me midweek, and today I want to continue to tell you about who Satan is as we look at his temptation of Eve and Adam in the Garden of Eden in Genesis chapter 3. Remember what we are doing. We're looking deeply at sin because John the Baptist proclaims that Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And on Monday, I asked the question, what is the origin of sin? Where does sin come from? And the answer is Satan. And so yesterday and today, I'm dealing with Satan and giving you some insights into the rotten core of who this creature is. And he is a creature created by God originally as an angel in high regard, but he wanted to be God, and so he sparked a rebellion in the heavenlies. As a result, God cast him out and cursed him, so that the angel is now a fallen angel, Satan. He then brings sin into the Garden of Eden via the voice of the serpent, and yesterday we saw that Satan is subtle. Today we pick up the Genesis 3 text and see that Satan is also seductive. Satan seduces the human, and his target at the start is the first woman, Eve. Return with me to Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1. We will see the seduction in just this one verse. Genesis 3:1 says, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, 'Indeed, has God said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden?'" If you have your Bible open, circle the words serpent and the phrase, "he said to the woman." We have to at least briefly talk about this matter of a talking snake. I have already said that I very much doubt all of the first animals in the Garden of Eden talked, but this one did. Why? Well, first, Satan must have known. Remember, the text says he's crafty, that Eve would trust the serpent. And in order for Eve to listen to the serpent, she must not have thought of the snake as being out to harm her or her husband. And no doubt she becomes enchanted with the idea of a talking serpent. She is being seduced. Eve is curious, and her curiosity gets the best of her. So she engages in the dialogue. And we are like this with sin, are we not? We have a very difficult time holding to our boundaries of goodness. The internet is a primary example. You could be online minding your own business when suddenly, seemingly out of nowhere, comes an advertisement. It piques our curiosity, and we immediately have the thought to ignore it. Because we have an internal sense called the Holy Spirit in the life of the Christian, by the way, or conscience in the life of the person who does not believe in Christ. So we have this internal sense that a click now would be wrong. But there is a competing idea. Check it out. You're getting bored anyway, and you have a little time. So we click it. This all happens very quickly, but the next thing we know, we've been led deeper and deeper into a temptation, and now the question is, how are we going to get out of it? If you are at all like me, you have had to deal with this in your life. You know whom you are dealing with? Satan. He is seducing you. Back to the woman and the serpent. A talking snake, she goes for it. The process of sin is underway. Now, the Bible teaches us that Satan can do this. He can temporarily infiltrate a person and control speech. He does this through demon possession of the unbeliever, of the person who is not a Christ follower. Let's take, for example, Matthew chapter 8, beginning at verse 28. This is an important true story in the ministry of Christ as he comes to the country of the Gadarenes. I'm reading briefly from Matthew chapter 8 and verses 28 and 29. When he came to the other side of the country of the Gadarenes, two men who were demon-possessed met Jesus as they were coming out of the tombs. They were so extremely violent that no one could pass by that way, and they cried out, saying, "What business do we have with each other, Son of God? Have you come here to torment us before the time?" Notice they cried out, saying, demons talk, Satan talks. Now, by the way, on your own time, keep reading. Jesus delivers the demoniacs from the demons by commanding Satan to leave them. This is must reading. Read Matthew 8, verses 28 to 34. The true story is also told in Mark and Luke. In the garden, Satan spoke through the serpent, and in other texts of Scripture, he possesses unbelievers and speaks again. That is, until such people are delivered by Jesus. When Jesus commands a demon, the demon does whatever Christ commands. Christ is far more powerful than Satan. Do not miss this. Also, we see in the Bible that Satan can manifest himself in different forms. There's a very intriguing passage in Paul the Apostle's second letter to the Corinthians that teaches us to be very discerning concerning who we listen to. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 14. The apostle says, Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. What does the apostle mean? Satan will seduce you. He presents himself as good when he is evil. He presents himself as light when he is total pitch black darkness. He lies when you think he is telling the truth. Satan dominates the undiscerning person. He's so good at it. And by the way, you know where Satan pulls this off all day, every day, and all night, every night? Through the false teachers that some of you listen to on the radio and via podcasts and watch on TV. I am amazed at how many well-meaning Christians tune into such junk and think that it is orthodox truth. Sound doctrine or teaching is completely missing from so many of the supposed pastors and quote-unquote Bible teachers that we will find on the radio, on TV, and online. My friends, be very, very careful who you listen to and test. I mean really test what they are saying to make sure it is true. If this concerns you, write to me and we could talk about it because this deeply concerns and troubles me. One of the reasons I do God is will be to counteract false teaching that you may hear elsewhere. So let me summarize. Yesterday I said Satan is subtle. Today we see that he is a seducer. He does this via the talking serpent, and he falls for it. Satan can control speech, and he can manifest himself in different forms. I told you, Satan is no joke. Now, I'm going to come back to Satan as the seducer one more time further on in our story, but before that, I want to give you a third insight into the devil, and that's this. Satan is a liar and a killer. He lies to murder. He deceives in order to devour. Let's see this in Genesis chapter 3. I'll pick up the reading at verse 2. I'm reading Genesis chapter 3 in verses 2 to 5. The woman said to the serpent, "From the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat, but from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, 'You shall not eat from it or touch it, or you will die.' The serpent said to the woman, 'You surely will not die, for God knows that in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil.'" Do you hear the lies? God said that if Eve and Adam ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they will surely die. But Satan questions God by lying, "You surely shall not die." And the fraudulence deepens as the serpent continues, "For God knows that in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." There it is. You will be like God. This is exactly who Satan tried to be, God. We saw precisely this yesterday in Isaiah chapter 14. Satan starts all-out war on God, but Satan cannot be God. And so he does the next best thing. He convinces the first people that they can be God. Verse 6, this is Genesis chapter 3 and verse 6. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from its fruit and ate. And she gave also to her husband with her, and he ate. Sin. Sin enters paradise and ruins it. Adam and Eve believed the lie of Satan, And there's murder as well. Satan managed to kill the perfect relationship between God and man and God and woman. And as a result of this sin, as a result of disobedience, God does do what he said he would do. And the man and woman now face two kinds of death. One is spiritual and the other eventually physical. Murder. Listen to the words of our Lord Jesus in John chapter 8 and verse 44. Christians, within the sound of my voice, I urge you to memorize John 8, 44. Satan was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. As usual, Jesus tells us the complete truth. Satan is a liar and a killer, and we better watch out. He will attempt to murder us too. And finally for today, let me squeeze this in. Remember that I have said that Satan is a seducer. Well, notice in Genesis 3 and verse 6 that Eve gave also to her husband with her, and he ate. Satan pursued Eve because he calculated that Adam would accept the temptation from Eve, and he was right. And again, I must quote Thomas Watson here. Sometimes relations prove temptations. Sometimes relations prove temptations. That is, Adam fell for Eve, who had fallen for Satan, and together, man and woman, husband and wife, the relation proved the temptation. And sin gets very real. Satan is a seducer, and be careful how he works in the people you love and trust the most. Sometimes relations prove temptations. I need to go, but please join me tomorrow, for God is...